is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello, this is Debbie Powell, Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties, and I'm here at the Sonora office with a really great opportunity to talk to Mary Campbell, who is the owner of the garden company. And Mary, it's great to see you.
Hi. Nice to see you too.
Yes, yes. And Mary, I think you're one of the most, the most adventuresome people that I have met here in Tuolumne County, because you decided to start growing plants and selling them to the public. How did you just even get this kind of an interest?
How did I get this kind of an interest? Well, it's a labor of love, that's for certain. I wanted to give people options, in particular in the foothill areas and above, that they may not have had otherwise. One of the things that has always bothered me was the lack of availability of plants that are really suited for the area. So, because I have always been a plant lover and wanted the opportunity to buy those plants myself, I decided to start growing them and offering them to the local community.
Wow, that's great. Now, did you go to school for it? I mean, did you start gardening at a young age, or how did you get the kind of experience that you have? Because it's a pretty unique experience. Natives aren't always easy to grow, from what I understand.
Well, my background is that, of course, I was raised in Tuolumne County, and my parents both were gardeners of their own sort. My dad was an avid vegetable gardener and had a huge vegetable garden. My mom was more of an ornamental gardener. And I watched them struggle through the years with various plants that they would try to install. My mom would cuss at the deer often.
Oh, and gosh. She's not alone, you know.
So that was always a thing for us, that, you know, growing up, watching their struggles. They moved here from San Jose, which was a whole different climate and different environment, and watching, you know, in particular, my mom go through the struggles of trying to get landscaping in place that would work for her. And she just moved out of the area last year, so lived here 40 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And never quite nailed it, I have to say.
Is that right?
Still struggled constantly with the deer and the
climate. I applaud her efforts, though.
Yeah. Yep. So that was my earliest sense of gardening. I did fall out of it for a period of time in my life because I lived outside the country. I lived in Norway, where nothing really grows.
Oh my gosh.
And worked in the arts for some time. But then I went back to it at around the time my son was born. I went back to school and started studying more in horticulture, landscape design, that sort of thing. So, but of course, being who I am, which you might call obsessive, I, of course, am a self-study as well. And I had basically read anything I can get my hands on and learn as much as I can. I worked with Bruce Lee at Shelterwood for a couple of years. So he was one of my propagating mentors, because he was an old hand at propagating.
Now, you know, I met, I believe, Bruce Lee one time, And that was, I think he was making a delivery at Columbia Nursery at the time. Mm-hmm. And that was years ago. But he was, you know, pretty famous.
Yeah.
I mean, for all the plants he was able to produce. And he, as far as my understanding, he was strictly a wholesaler. So he was providing the retail nurseries. But correct me if I'm wrong. That's just my memory.
Mostly, yes. He would open up his nursery a couple times a year for plant sale.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would have gone.
And then he also did the farmer's market, which is how I got into doing the farmer's market. I did it with him for a few years before he left the area. And then it was about trying to fill that hole that he was filling before.
Sure.
So that's part of the experience that I have. So yes, I studied, I worked with him. I've been doing landscape design for a number of years.
Well, and you helped out one of the homeowners, from what I understand, that was on the garden tour in this last year, and when we had our garden tour in October 2018, and it was Ed Piper, who is a wonderful man, and his garden, we were so fortunate, was on the garden tour. And you were there that morning when we were setting up, just double-checking, walking through the garden with Ed.
Ed's project is an ongoing one. You know, he is constantly planting, grooming, planting new areas, and he only started working on that project probably, 10 years ago, I'm going to say.
Oh, gosh.
And cleared it all first and, you know, got rid of the blackberries and poison oak. And he is so, talk about adventurous. I think he's even more adventurous than me. But we are working together. I help him find things that will work in the areas that he has. And slowly... we're sort of refining some of the areas that he's gotten into. I came out that morning because he had said that some of the plants, he does get a lot of plants from me, and some of them people were unable to figure out what they were.
Identify them.
So sure. I went out to try to help out with that.
On
that morning before
wonderful. The
tour came through. And I'm sure Ed had a wonderful time.
It seemed like he did. It was really a great day. And it talked about a challenging, originally a challenging spot, because that was hydraulically mined. Mm-hmm. So all the soil was removed. Mm-hmm. And he's added soil. He's changed some rock features that could be maybe considered... maybe not as attractive, because, you know, huge chunks of rock, he's turned them into these amazing waterfalls. It was just a delight and just a wonderful experience to be there. So we're so thankful that he did that.
Yeah.
But so kind of going back to your progression, you actually worked with Bruce Lee and learned how he was propagating. How did you, and you had done landscape design, how did you make that transition to opening up a retail store?
Well, with when I went to school, I studied horticulture and landscape design, both. And my thought at that time was I was going to be doing more landscape design. But as that progressed, I came to recognize that my one true love is growing plants.
Oh.
So I focused more on that. And then when I met Bruce through having done a design that had been picked up by a local contractor who got all his plants through Bruce. And so Bruce called me one day and said, hey, let's work together. We met up, and he had not been propagating for some time at that time. He'd kind of gone away from that. He was doing more brokering. And so he wanted to kind of get his feet wet in propagating again. And the way that he did it was much different than the way they did it officially in school.
Okay.
And it left it feeling more open for me. in school, everything is done by the book. You know, right. It's done in very specific ways, very specific times, with very specific conditions. And Bruce was much more, he did it in a way that seemed more doable to me, which was much more an individual approach to the individual plants, you know, where are they being kind of in communication with the plants and, you know, kind of feeling out when they're ready to propagate the way you might go about it.
Oh, that's interesting. So based on the individual plant itself, not even if it's like maybe all salvias or, you know, maybe looking at a particular variety and observing and noticing when they're going to be ready.
Exactly, because plants are individuals. So you can do all the reading and all the studying and have every bit of book knowledge there is. But the real bottom line is, even in a stand of the same species, one will be ready to do cuttings, for example. One will have ripened seed, while the others won't. You know, and so they're all individuals, and a lot of that is conditions, soil conditions, weather patterns, exposure patterns, all of that stuff. But really, the bottom line is, the one thing to know is to be able to sort of communicate with the plant itself and say, okay, yeah, that feels right. It feels like the right time. And that sounds very kind of weird and hard to grab onto, but once you've done it a million times, it does make a lot more sense.
It's really the best farmers even are very tuned into what they're growing.
Exactly. Down to tasting the soil and, you know, those kinds of things. So, yes, it's just like that, you know, and it's kind of old school. And the way that he approached the cutting propagation, which was a lot of what we did together, was that, you know, it was all open, nothing was sterilized. And that was entirely different than what I had done in school. Right. In school, it was all environmentally controlled greenhouses and, you know, all of that, where I'm like, okay, that didn't even seem like something that I could do. But he made it approachable. And so he kind of got my feet wet into natural propagation. And it's very effective. It's quite effective. So
it works.
It works.
That's the bottom line. It works.
It works.
And so with your, how did you, and you made that transition to being very interested in native plants partially based upon watching your mother struggle for 40 years and trying to grow some of the plants in her garden. What mistakes did you notice your mom making or later on figured out, what were some of the mistakes that she made so that you wouldn't have to make the same mistakes?
Sure. Well, the one big first hurdle, of course, when she moved into the area, is the one that a lot of people do when they move into the area, is they think that all plants are created equally. And they plant a lot of things they're familiar with from other areas, which, you know, they don't ever quite do as well. You know, we have, our soil is entirely different than, you know, what a lot of the soils in the valleys or the Bay Area, or, you know, entirely different picture there. So they start by planting things that are familiar to them, and those things don't always succeed the way that they used to. So I've had a million people come to me and say, nothing grows here. Nothing grows here.
Oh gosh.
And I say, well, of course it does. But so that was probably the first mistake that my mom probably did. And I think it's very familiar. A lot of people who move here do that same thing. And they go through that transition phase of nothing to, okay, I'll try this thing. Okay, the only thing that grows is rosemary. Okay. And they kind of transition, you know. And what I'm trying to do is let people know that they do have options. It's just that they have to start thinking a little bit differently. So that was the one thing that she did. The next thing is, of course, that painful deer-resistant versus not deer-resistant experience.
Oh, boy, that is painful.
That is painful. And that's a constant struggle. I mean, it's not even to say that once you get it, it's forever, right?
Right.
Those things are constantly changing. As the the population of deer is changing, you know. Now they're being outcompeted by the turkeys. So it's like now they're turning to things that they've never eaten before. So it's a constant thing. But if you have that initial base of like these things are a 9 out of 10 on that scale for deer resistance, at least mm-hmm. you know you can start there. And right. that comes with experience. That's okay. that's a thing that you only develop through experience or utilizing someone else's experience.
Right.
So that's something that I'm also trying to do is to not only use the experience that I have with deer, but also that my customers have with deer. And I'm trying to be a sort of a hub there mm-hmm. for the community. So people who have a great experience, like I grow this all day and the deer never touch it. I'm like, mm-hmm. bring me pieces of it. And I will propagate it. If I mm-hmm. can, I'll do the best I can.
That's wonderful.
That is one of my favorite parts of this, is that I can actually take something from somebody that they're having great success with, mm-hmm. and I can actually make more of them so that others in the community can have that kind of success. Well, so that's one of my favorite pieces of doing this, is when people bring me stuff. And they're like, I don't know what this is. And I'll say, oh, it's this, or it's, uh-huh. oh, it's that. And we'll, you know, I may not know the cultivar, but, you know, right. I'll be like, oh, hooray.
You probably know the family or the genus or something like
very
that.
Very likely, yeah. but not every time. Sometimes right. I'll be like, what the heck is that?
Which is fun, because that's discovery.
Oh, often.
That's trying to figure out what it is.
It's one of my favorite hobbies, right? Or even wild plants, you know, mm-hmm. my favorite hobbies. What is that? You know, right. and then, you know, doing the research to try to figure out, you know, nail that down, you know.
You know, I'm kind of going to guess about your mother, what she might have done also, besides growing things that are familiar to her, is she might have also bought from nurseries that were shipping in plants from other sources. And what you're talking about that you're growing and what your customers are bringing to you are plants that grow in the area mm-hmm. that are adapted to the area, mm-hmm. which is huge. That is huge. And of course, you've noticed the difference.
Yes.
I mean, some of the plants that are sold at some of our local box stores, and their hands are tied. They have to accept what is bought for them. But it may not be necessarily good for this area. Mm-hmm. It definitely isn't adapted to the area. It's mm-hmm. not used to the area. I know I've gone into different stores and they've just received a shipment mm-hmm. and everything is wilted. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it
first
just...
First time the sun's rays hits it.
Yeah.
Well, it is true. That is a big deal. And actually, what we're doing, so I grow all the plants at 3,000 feet.
3,000 foot yes. elevation.
So
okay.
that makes it to where it's a nice centerpiece. So people who are in Twainhard at 4,000 feet, they can take those plants into that environment. That's not going to be a huge shock. People who are in Jamestown, you know, they can do the same. You know, it's not going to be a huge shock. So in addition, there's two factors there. And one is that, you know, whether a plant is able to adapt to the area at all. That's a zoning issue. So there's plants that are adapted to, you know, maritime climates that
right,
are just
right.
never going to perform well mm-hmm. here. They're just not going to.
Well, what
but
I
then
have,
there's also yeah. the other piece of that is the point that they are at in their life cycle. So that's a big piece. Plants go through various stages every year. You know, they go through dormancy. Even plants that are evergreen have a dormant period. They go through, you know, a part where they're fixing to bloom. They're going into forming buds for bloom. And that is a vulnerable period in time. They go through a growth period, an active growth period. You know, there's different stages. And the problem is when you pull a plant out of a climate-controlled greenhouse is that they are not adapted to the local climate. They're adapted to the
right.
climate-controlled greenhouse.
Right.
So it can look beautiful, can be perfect leaves, perfect lushness, can be super, you know, pushed with all kinds of fertilizers, and it can be in full bloom, right? Let's not even get into, you know, growth regulators and all of those kinds of wonderful things to get applied
right.
to. But, so the plant that I have for sale you're going to put them side by side in, say, early March or February.
Mm-hmm.
One's going to look like sticks. The other one's going to be in full bloom. But one's going to survive when you plant it outside right now, and one is not.
Right.
And it could be the same species.
Even. Isn't that amazing? That
yeah.
It's just amazing.
So it's one thing to think about plants that are zoned for the area. That's something that Sunset helps you with a lot. That's
right.
Something. But you really got to look, too, at where is it at in its life cycle. Do the other plants in my area look like this now, or do they look like they're dormant now?
Right.
If you're putting something in that looks like it should be in June, and it's February, do not count on it to survive.
Well, it could have been grown in maybe in the San Diego area.
Exactly.
I mean,
and
San Diego, it has a totally different.
And likely is that it wasn't even grown outdoors.
Right.
So I have, this is a fun story. So I have a lot of people. I talk to a ton of people. We do the farmer's market. Of course, we have the retail location, and I talk to a lot of people, and they'll come to me and ask me questions. One question that I hear over and over again, or statement, I should say, is that, you can't plant basil here. It dies.
Oh.
And I say, what do you mean? Basil does great here in the summer.
Right,
you know,
right.
It does great.
Right.
But I said, you bought it out of a grocery store, didn't you?
Oh.
And they said, I did. How did you know? Because you buy those little hydroponically grown basil plants that were never meant to even plant. They're meant to just use, right?
Right.
And they're in a
right.
plastic sleeve.
Yeah.
They can't even hold themselves up. And they're really meant to just cut and use
right.
fresh basil.
Right.
But people are like, oh, it has roots. I'm going to try to plant it. And they do,
yeah.
and the thing dies instantly because it is not adapted. It has never been exposed to those kind of conditions. So they plant it midsummer, they put it out, and, oh, it's a full sun plant. Okay, put it out in the sun. Never mind. It isn't going to make it.
Right.
And the reason for that is because where it's at. It's
sure.
not because basil can't be grown. It's because of how that plant is, what the conditions that plant, that particular individual is adapted to at
right.
that time.
Right.
So that's a fun story about adaptation and plants that are climatized. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're able to take the conditions you have. And it's a slow process, just like
right.
when you grow seed and you have to harden them off, right? You
mm-hmm.
grow seed on your windowsill.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
That
it's
really
the same
is.
Story. It's
yeah.
the same story for any plant, really. So
right.
that's and so you're right, yes. And my mom had limited options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she only had the options that she had. The unfortunate part about what goes on today is that most things that are called nurseries are actually garden centers. So
right.
they just buy plants from whoever's growing them, whoever grows them, you
mm-hmm.
know,
and sure.
And sells them wholesale. So
right.
a lot of times, well, obviously, we don't have a lot of people doing that at 3,000 feet.
No,
We have people in valleys. We have people in Southern California or coastal climates where, you know, they're not struggling with those kinds of elements. And they have plants at an early stage of the game, you know. In,
sure.
In, they can produce tomatoes for
Wait.
Sale in, you know, February and
sure.
things like that.
Sure. What I've noticed what happens is after you go through a winter, and particularly if the winter is somewhat harsh, people are so excited to get out and plant, and they see something beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and they just literally want to plant it. And I know I'm impatient too, but if they just have the patience to buy something, like you said, that has been grown in the area,
mm-hmm.
adapted to the area, that is, the timing is perfect for that plant, if they just wait,
yeah.
they're going to do so much better.
Right, they'll save themselves a lot of heartache.
I
and
know.
And they'll have that beauty, but it'll be at an appropriate time, you know?
Right.
And then it'll all happen for them too, because everyone loves a flower. It's something that I have come to know. It's also one of the things that I love about human nature is that we still hold on to that idea, even with all of our modern stuff and devices and, you know, stimulation we have from everywhere. People are still incredibly drawn to flowers. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
So you go to a store and you buy something in full bloom, right? And you're a master gardener, you know, the old school is you don't buy something that's in full bloom,
oh,
right?
Oh, I know, because it's going to go out of bloom.
All right. Well, there's that. And there's the fact that when a plant is in full bloom, it is not putting energy into making roots.
Right.
So you're not supposed to plant
right,
when it's in full
true.
Bloom. But how many of us, can resist that, right? It's beautiful.
It is difficult. It's difficult to resist.
It is difficult to resist, even for me.
But if you're thinking long range, it's better for the plant, and it will be better for your garden.
Right.
So where does anybody find you, Mary? I mean, how do they reach you? I know you have a website.
I do have a website, and it has a lot of information on there.
It's called The Garden Company. And the way I found you is I Googled The Garden Company, and you have on your website a contact area, how to contact you.
Yes.
But you also have that retail nursery, too.
We do. We have. I consider it to be an outlet.
An outlet.
Because we grow all the plants in Soulsby, like I said, and then we bring them, more or less, we bring them in there as they're ready.
Okay.
So at any one time, all the plants you see there are not all the plants I have. Some things are in different stages of growth, so it's always a good idea to ask if I have something else if you don't see it there. But where that is it's we've actually, we took over the nursery department inside of C&W Supply. C&W Supply has been here in the county for 40 plus years. They're a plumbing supply. They have bulk goods. And it is really, I could give you the address, but really the better way to tell you where that is on the corner of 108.
Okay.
After Mona Way and 108 become the same road again.
Right.
It's just beyond where they converge again.
Okay.
Reconverge. And so it's on the corner of Highway 108 and Via Este Road.
Okay.
So if you look down there, what you'll see is a lot of bulk landscape materials, bark and things like that. And that really is still C&W Supply. We're kind of tucked back in there. It's hard to see us a little bit from the road. But we do have a little retail space right there. And there's plants for sale there. Also, the website is... it's actually thegardencompanyonline.com we have two official ways to get there, and my favorite one is gardenwhereyouare.com. And it talks about because that's sort of one of my, what we've been talking about is, you know, where you are is important, mm-hmm. as important as, you know, anything
Absolutely.
else, and planting the things that you know, will mm-hmm. do well there, and also that are in that same part of the life cycle that, you know, where is where you are. So
sure.
Garden Where You Are, it's easier to remember, and that's the website. So either one of those places we can be reached.
Oh, good.
So that's good. Right now we're in our winter hours at the retail space through the end of February, which will be, we're only there on Fridays and Saturdays.
Okay, Fridays and Saturdays, and then, right now.
And then when spring and summer comes, we're there Monday through Saturday. We're closed on Sundays.
So. Okay. And then what are the hours on Friday and Saturday?
Right now we're there from 10 to 4.
Okay.
4 is a little awkward, but we close at 4 because that's when C&W closes. So just makes it easier.
Sure.
We're often there after the fact, but you know.
Right.
And then in the spring summer hours, we're there 9 to 4. So.
Okay, but they could also contact you through the website.
Absolutely.
Which is.
So, yes, and we encourage that because we have a lot of local customers that are pretty loyal, and I don't want them to feel like they're left out in the cold. So anybody can always call me and say, hey, do you have some of this or do you have that?
Oh, good.
We have some plants down there right now. It's an extremely cold spot where we are located there, so the winter I always hesitate to bring a lot in because, like what we were talking about, our growing area in Soulsby, which is actually higher in elevation, mm-hmm. is quite a bit warmer than the little spot that we're in
there.
So I always am a little hesitant to bring things down, you know, because even though we grow outdoors in Soulsbyville, it's all exposed. But it's always just a little bit. It's like a zone to a half a zone colder there.
This
time of year is always a little. So
it's pretty interesting, all these little microclimates that are throughout the county. But I want to thank you so much. This has been so much fun, and we'll have to have you back again.
Okay.
And goodbye.
Bye-bye, and thank you.